in the matter of Patrick Michael Magaro. May we please have appearances?
Yes, it's Deputy Ethics Counsel Hillary Horton on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Patrick Michael Magaro appearing pro se.
Ms. Horton, we'll hear from you.
Thank you. May it please the court. This case originated out of North Carolina and was before the board on a motion for reciprocal discipline. The facts of the matter are fully elucidated in the record below before the board and summarized on the first 42 pages of the board's decision. In North Carolina, the North Carolina Hearing Commission ordered a 5-year license suspension with conditions, which was affirmed on November 1st, 2022 by the North Carolina Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court in North Carolina denied discretionary review on June 14th, 2023, thus ending appellate review in North Carolina. The linchpin of the matter is the determination of the appropriate quantum of discipline for an out-of-state attorney who took advantage of two intellectually disabled clients to maximize his own legal fees at the expense of their ultimate recovery, financial recovery. Here, respondents' clients, intellectually disadvantaged brothers, were wrongly convicted of the rape and murder of an 11-year-old child.
No. What followed...
Oh, is that feedback from me? Should I, or are we okay? Can you hear me? Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay, I apologize. I was hearing feedback and I wanted to make sure it wasn't my own microphone. Thank you. What followed is detailed in the record below. The ultimate result being that respondent was removed as counsel in the Eastern District of North Carolina after a new attorney was appointed guardian ad litem from a column by a United States District Court judge who had concerns about the representation. Following that removal, the matter was referred to ethics authorities in North Carolina, and the discipline as outlined above was the ultimate result. Following a motion for reciprocal discipline in this jurisdiction, the New Jersey Disciplinary Review Board determined that respondent violated 9 New Jersey rules of professional conduct. 5 members voted for disbarment, with 3 Disciplinary Review Board members voting for a 3-year suspension. Here, the OAE continues to recommend respondent's 3-year suspension, which is in line with the discipline meted out in North Carolina, which was a 5-year suspension with a provision permitting respondent to apply for a stay of that suspension after completion of 3 years of the 5 that were ordered. If there are no questions for the Office of Attorney Ethics, we will submit the case to the court for its consideration.
Questions, anyone? Mr. Magaro, we'll hear from you, please.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just to make a quick correction, the matter was not referred to the North Carolina State Bar after I was removed as counsel. Is actually a sua sponte investigation based on a newspaper article that started approximately 1 year before I was removed. Nevertheless, not that it makes that much of a difference at this point. I've been dealing with the North Carolina Bar since May 5th, 2017. That was the date that I had a hearing on the McCollum and Brown case in the Eastern District of North Carolina. And that was the date that I received a notice from the North Carolina Bar that it was commencing disciplinary proceedings against me. This is going to be my 10th year of dealing with the North Carolina State Bar. They gave me a reprimand in 2015 for... I'm not even sure what this means, but assisting a law firm of practicing without a license, even though I was a licensed attorney, all of this stems from the same case. The North Carolina Bar is after me yet again for another matter that my partner did, that I didn't even do. There is another open grievance, and that is going to have another, that's going to take place at some point this year again. The point being is, in 22 years of practice of law, I never had a single grievance until I started practicing in North Carolina. I've said all that I really need to say in my letter brief that I submitted, but when I first argued this matter before the commission for the board back in in March. I outlined how this had affected my life. And since then, my condition has deteriorated actually even further. I'm unable to file or find any employment. I am completely radioactive as a result of this. Simple Google search puts me at all this negative stuff at the top of a Google search if you Google my name. I have applied to 1,800, at least 1,800 jobs in the past 12 months. And those are 1,800 rejections that I know of. That doesn't even count the jobs that I applied to that didn't even give me the courtesy of a rejection. My marriage is over. I'm now living alone. I'm financially in a bad situation. And this has even affected my ability to be promoted in the military, which I've had to rejoin military service. And at this age, and try to eke out a part-time living doing that. But it's actually been affecting my promotion status there because of the political implications. Essentially, I'm a broken man. I still have family in New Jersey. I was born and raised in New Jersey. I would like to one day return to the practice of law. And the strange thing is that if I had paid $250,000, I could have actually been reinstated in North Carolina this past May of 2024. Unfortunately, this is a saga that never seems to end. It has completely defined the entire decade of my 40s. And I'm just hoping that it doesn't define the entire rest of my life. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Mr. McGarry, your comments so far, you've been critical of the North Carolina Bar and others. What responsibility do you bear in this matter?
I do have some responsibility, and I readily admitted that in the North Carolina Bar. I readily admitted that on the witness stand and testifying at a deposition and testifying for 6 hours. And herein lies the problem. And, you know, in hindsight, I would have done things probably differently. I still don't believe, and I still take issue with the fact that I took advantage of people that were mentally unfit. In other words, the courts have said that these two men were mentally incompetent. My problem with that is that no less than 17 judges, 24 jurors, and approximately 10 lawyers, including prosecutors, all passed upon that issue for two decades, and all of them rejected that. And they only became incompetent. Well, one of them became incompetent after he stopped taking his medication, and it was I that actually petitioned the court for a guardian on his behalf. The other brother did not believe was incompetent. And 22 years of doing criminal defense law, I believe that their mental status was very much like many other criminal defendants that I had represented in the past. And they were certainly competent, according to the North Carolina Supreme Court, to execute them, but they were the only time they became incompetent was when it appeared that they were going to stand to make many millions of dollars at the expense of the state of North Carolina. But to answer the court's question, I do have some responsibility. I did do some things that were wrong at the time that I freely acknowledged. And in hindsight, it probably would have, in hindsight, it's 2020, I probably would have handled things differently. And, you know, if it ever were to come pass in the future, if there was even a hint of a question of competency, I would just go right to court and have a court make that determination. But I exercise my own judgment, and having been trained on this sort of thing for many years as a public defender and recognizing mental incompetency, I exercise my judgment, and I felt that that they were competent to make their decisions at the time. So,
and I take it from your comment earlier, you intend to practice in New Jersey? You would plan to practice in New Jersey?
I would hope again to practice in New Jersey, and in any other state that'll have me back. At this point, that looks like Washington and Texas. I could reapply for readmission in Florida and New York. But I would intend to practice in New Jersey. My practice in New Jersey was mainly criminal defense appeals, and mainly appeals and post-conviction relief work. But I did do some civil litigation and advise friends and family members on a variety of matters.
Other questions anyone has? Anything you'd like to add, Mr. McGarrah?
There is one thing, and I guess I learned this from criminal defense. Before the board, I was asked, you know, are you sorry for what you did? And that kind of segues into the court's question earlier about acceptance of responsibility. And it's, I liken this to a defendant who testifies in a criminal trial that he did not do the crime for which he was charged, or she was charged. And the jury finds them guilty. And then at sentencing, the judge and the prosecutor says, you know, the defendant doesn't even accept responsibility. Well, here's the problem. That is a catch-22 situation. If the defendant then accepts responsibility at sentencing, having testified, then the prosecutor will say, well, you see, he or she perjured himself at trial. Your Honor, you should take that into consideration and, you know, give him a harsh sentence because he perjured himself. If he insists that he's innocent, then the prosecutor will say, well, you see, Your Honor, he's remorseless. You should punish him harder for that. This is sort of the same scenario. And again, are there things that I would have done differently with the benefit of hindsight, you know, knowing what I was up against? And, you know, knowing what I know now, yes. Did I take responsibility for the things that I know that I did wrong? Absolutely. But none of those were what I would call a hanging offense. And it's very difficult for me to put myself now in the shoes of many clients. I've done 50 criminal jury trials in my career, and having stood next to many a client who is facing the brunt of a sentence, I now find myself in that same exact position. So I hope that answers the court's question.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, we'll take the matter under advisement.